Okay, now this evening we're going to take a look at Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and the title of the message is Caleb, Holy, Totally, Fully Followed the Lord. As we read just a moment ago, look at verse 8, Joshua 14, verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. Those 10 other men said, we cannot. Those 10 other spies said, we cannot take the land. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Again, down in verse 9, it says again, because thou hast wholly, totally followed the Lord my God. And again, over in verse 14, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, anytime something is repeated twice, three times, it really draws, sucks our attention in. It draws us into it, doesn't it? It draws us into the story. When I was reading through this and I kept reading that over and over again, it just drew me right into the story, drew me right into the life of Caleb, the servant of the Lord. Now, I want to be a servant like Caleb, 85 years old now, and still willing to fight the good fight of faith. And no doubt, he died believing God. He died in faith. He died in faith. Now, we see in this chapter the precious story of one of God's faithful servants, Caleb. I went back over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where it talks about all those faithful servants of the Lord. You know, Caleb's not mentioned in that chapter we call the Hall of Faith. David is mentioned. Samuel is mentioned. Joshua is not even mentioned. But certainly the Lord takes notice of His servants that serve Him. He certainly did of this man. When Joshua was getting ready to give the inheritance by lot, by assignment, by the grace of God to the tribe of Judah, Caleb was of that tribe. He was of the tribe of Judah, the kingly tribe, the tribe of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Caleb come before Joshua with a petition seeking a piece of land that Moses had promised him 40 years ago. And he never forgot it, because the word of the Lord is true and sure. Look at verse 9. Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance, and thy children's forever, because you have totally, completely followed, faithfully followed the Lord. Now, as we read in Numbers chapter 14, of all those men that came out of Egypt, 20 years old and older, only two men. Now, you think how many hundreds of thousands of men. Most people think 1 or 2 million people came out of Egyptian bondage. But think, out of all those men that were older, 20 years and older, only two men walked in to the land of Canaan. Only two men crossed the river of Jordan, Joshua and Caleb. And they did so because God said so. And we know that Joshua and Caleb, that is also a picture of the Savior and a sinner entering in to the heavenly Canaan in Christ and by His grace. Now, we've studied about how Joshua is a personal type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua is a personal type of Christ. Now we're going to see how Caleb is a picture of a faithful believer. He's a picture of you who believe the gospel, committed and sold out to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's Caleb. Long beard, probably stooped a little in his shoulders, 85 years old. He's ready to settle down in the land. He's ready to take that inheritance that God had given him. He desires for himself and for his family the city of Hebron and the mountain that God promised him that he would have. But he's also ready to fight for it and defend the city. And if need be, lay down his life to take the city and to kill those enemies that were still in the city. It's interesting, the name of the city, Hebron, you know what it means? Fellowship and communion. And that's what Caleb was seeking, fellowship and communion with God. Later this city, we're going to see in Joshua chapter 20, later this city, Hebron, is one of the six cities. You remember those six cities that were designated as cities of refuge that were given to the Levitical priest? Hebron was one of those cities. A city of refuge where the manslayer could go and stay in that city and no one could touch him as long as the priest lived. And all that too is a picture of Christ and the gospel. Caleb from his youth through his life, remember he had a hard life. He was born in Egyptian bondage and worked as a slave until God set the people free. But Caleb from his youth through his life, even in old age, Caleb's zeal never diminished. His devotion never ceased. His commitment to God and his cause, to the cause of God and his truth never failed. Caleb indeed wholly followed the Lord. And my prayer for us is, Lord, make me like that man. Make me like that man. I want to be like him. Now, the first thing I want us to consider, what the Lord says of Caleb, found in Numbers 14. Don't turn back. Let me just read it to you. And we see the reason behind his faithfulness. There's got to be a reason behind his faithfulness and how that him and Joshua differed from those other men. Who made the difference? What made the difference? The difference was in God. Now, Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, here's what God says to him. Because he had another spirit with him, has followed me fully. He had another spirit. It wasn't a spirit of unbelief. It was a spirit of faith. And I'll bring him into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. You see, Caleb was granted the spirit of faith, while the other 10 spies were left to themselves and brought the evil report. Only Caleb and Joshua believed God and said, the Lord is with us. He said, the land is ours. Let's go take it. He was granted and given faith, and he acted upon the promise and word of God. He wasn't presumptuous. He believed God. This is a reason that he fully and totally followed the Lord. Joshua also had the spirit of faith and a fear of the Lord, of might and courage and truth and faithfulness, like unto Caleb, believing the promises of God, like another faithful servant of the Lord. And we've studied about many of them. Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, being fully persuaded that of all that God promised, he was able to perform. We're going to see when we get over to chapter 23, Joshua's last words, remember? Joshua's last words. He said, of all that the Lord promised, not one word has failed. That's still true today. It's impossible for God to lie. We are not presumptuous to believe everything that God says. We ought to. We should, because it's right and true. You see, faith is a sovereign gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only thing that's native to our wicked heart is that of unbelief. That is why faith is called the precious gift of God. I tell you, if you believe the gospel, if you believe God, it's because He granted you this precious gift of faith. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ. The reason we have faith is because Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. You see, without faith in Christ, it is impossible to please God. Remember, Hebrews 11:6, that's what it says. Those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But without faith, no man can please God. The man who is without faith is a man who is without Christ. You see, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It says that four times in the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk in this pilgrim journey looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what Abraham was looking for. Second thing I want us to consider is this. What his name means. Caleb. Now we have a son. Our son's name, our firstborn son, we named him Caleb. We named him Caleb. I'm so glad we did. It's a good name. I love this name. I remember one time someone was commenting on our son. His name's Caleb, which means faithful, 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 faithful dog. And that's what it means. But we know Joshua's name means Savior. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ received that name. He shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So, Jesus is that New Testament word that is equal to that Old Testament Joshua. Joshua, Jesus. That's who our Lord is. The Savior who really saved his people from their sin. Now, Caleb's name has two meanings. I just learned this today, a couple days ago as I was working this message up. Caleb's name has two meanings. First, it means faithful dog. Faithful dog. Sometimes most of the time if you call someone a dog, you probably get a hit upside the... Somebody probably hit you upside the head if you look at someone and said, "You're a dog. You're a dog." It would take great offense, wouldn't they? The Jews considered the Gentiles dogs, remember? You remember the story of the Gentile woman, the Syro-Phoenician woman, who came seeking mercy for her daughter? And she came to the disciples and asked for mercy, and they said, "Lord, send her away. She's a Gentile. Just send her away." But he answered, the Lord said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." He called her a dog. "You was a Gentile dog." But I love her answer, don't you? She said, "You're right. I'm a dog. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." He said, "I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. You're my master. I'm your dog." You know, a dog will follow his master wherever he goes. A dog will. A dog is a faithful and loyal pet. But everybody has dogs, don't they? I'm quite amazed how many people have dogs. Most of you have dogs. Everybody has dogs. Everywhere you go, people have dogs. You go to a motel, people have dogs. You go to a campground, they have dogs. Dogs everywhere. But they're loyal pets. They're loving pets. The little dog that we have, some of you know our little dog. His name is Cookie. But that little dog follows Bridget everywhere she goes in the house. And if she goes in the back of the house and Cookie's on the couch, she barks and barks and barks until she gets down so she can go and see Bridget. Now, she doesn't follow me that way, but I'm not the master. That's Bridget's dog. In that sense, Caleb was indeed a faithful, loyal dog to his master, who faithfully followed him out of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and in old age, 85 years old, he's still following the Lord, and he followed him all the way to glory. You remember what the Lord said of his sheep? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. They follow me. You see, we have a great shepherd. We have a great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. That's all I need. But that's all I want too. Believers have been made by His grace faithful and loyal dogs, following the Lord Jesus Christ wherever He leads, and willing to follow Him whatever it costs. Whatever the cost. Willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, make me a faithful dog. I want to be true, Lord. I'm a dog. But I'm your dog. I'm your dog. So, Caleb's name means faithful dog. Secondly, Caleb's name, here's what I learned. Caleb's name means all heart. All heart. What a name for a man. But it fits him, doesn't it? He's not half-hearted, but he's whole-hearted. He was not lukewarm or insincere, but totally sold out to the cause of God and His truth, sincerely believing the Word of the Lord. I mean, he didn't half-heartedly believe the Lord. You know, maybe I should believe. He wholeheartedly believed and sincerely believed the Lord. Believing the Lord. He put the two names together and we have a good description of every believer made a new creature in Christ. Fully following the Lord with all their, as much as they can, as much as in me is, following the Lord and believing Him. The Lord has put within us a new heart in regenerating grace and a new spirit within us. He's been made to us and has given to us a new divine nature, and we've been made one with Christ. Peter talked about it this way, 2 Peter 1, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature. His divine power has given us a divine nature that wasn't there before. He's raised us from the dead, quickened us, and made us new creatures in Christ. Ezekiel talks about it in Ezekiel 36. A new heart, the Lord says through Ezekiel, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, a heart of faith. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. He makes us faithful unto the Lord. Now here's the third thing I want us to see. The testimony of Caleb before Joshua. Look down to verse 10. Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He has said, these 45 years, even since the word the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, yet I'm strong, my strength as it was then, and it is now, I'm ready to fight for the Lord, to go out and to come back home. Here's his testimony. A couple of things. First of all, he says, the Lord kept me alive. The Lord kept me alive. Remember, only Joshua and Caleb were the only two men that entered in who came out of Egypt that were 20 years or older. The Lord keeps His people by His mighty power. We're kept by the power of God. It's the Lord that has kept me alive. It's the Lord that has given me life. We're kept by the power of God through faith. You remember over in Jeremiah 32. Don't turn, let me just get it for you. This covenant language that God says in Jeremiah 32, "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I'll give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I'll put my fear in their heart, and they shall not depart from me." I like that. "I will not turn away from them, and they shall not depart from me." That's covenant language. That's a covenant blessing that God gives us. And that's our testimony as well, is it not? He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He not only protects us, but also He provides for us, does He not? He's provided all things for us in salvation. He provides and supplies for us abundantly. His name is, after all, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. "My God," Paul said, "shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ." I remember listening to a message by Pastor Henry Mahan, when he turned 80 years old. He said, and the title of the message is, "What I've Learned in 80 Years." It's on sermon audio. You can listen to it. And one of the things I remember that he said in that message, he said, 80 years old now, "The longer I have lived, the more I'm aware of the Lord's gracious care of us." How He provides for us. We can look, you older ones can look back through your life, even before you knew the Lord, and He's provided for you and cared for you and brought you to Christ in saving faith. You see, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. "Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." That was Jeremiah's hope. And that's from Jeremiah, Lamentation 3:22-23. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. We know our days are determined of the Lord. He has kept us alive as it is this day. You remember that song by John Ryland? "He that formed me in the womb shall guide me to the tomb. Plagues and death around me fly. Till He bids, I cannot die." Man's days are immortal here until their work is done. And that is so. We know our days are determined of the Lord. So that's the first thing He said. The Lord has kept me alive. The second thing He said down in verse 11, "The Lord has given me strength." Strength. Now, this is not only talking about physical strength, but being made strong in the Lord. As David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. He is my light and my salvation, and He is my strength. Yet I am strong this day as I was that day Moses sent me 45 years ago." The Lord had given me strength. Not only had kept me alive, but also given vitality and vigor to serve the Lord's purpose, even though now 85 years old. He was strong in faith when he was 40 years old, and now even stronger in faith at 85. We call that growing in grace. That is what saving faith does. It grows. God-given faith never diminishes. Even though the body wears out, it continues to grow in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, this body growing frail and growing weak, but we don't grow. Faith that's God-given continues to bloom and continues to grow. Paul writes this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That which is alive grows. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the third thing he says over in verse 12, I love this. Verse 12, "Now therefore, give me this mountain You give it to me. The Lord's promised it to me. Now, Joshua, you've got the right to give it to me because the Lord has said it's mine. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. They were giants in the land, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now, I love his attitude, don't you? If the Lord be with me, I'll drive them out. I'll drive them out. If the Lord's with me. Caleb does not have confidence in his physical strength, but rather in the promise of God to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Moses. I'm going to drive them out because God said, I'm going to have that mountain. I believe God. That's our hope too. God, who has promised us salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot lie. My God, I can do, as Paul said, with God all things are possible. If God be for us, who can be against us? Anything too hard for the Lord? Now, in chapter 14 it ends, and we don't really know what happened to Caleb when he went to Hebron and took that land. But if you read chapter 15, you know the answer, don't you? Look over in chapter 15. You know Caleb's going to, he's going to win, right? You know he's going to win. You know he's going to be victorious. And Caleb drove, verse 14, Joshua 15. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. He drove them out. He drove them out of the country. With God, you see, all things are possible. Anything too hard for the Lord? If God be for us, who can be against us? Joshua did win because God said he'd win. I mean, Joshua and Caleb did win because God said they would win. Now, the last thing I want to give you is this. In verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunne Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunne the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord. Joshua blessed him. Joshua gave Caleb Hebron. This too is a gospel picture. Joshua here acting as the leader, the prince, the one who is a type and picture of Christ, the less being blessed of the better. You remember Hebrews 7:7? Without contradiction, the less is blessed by the better. The better being Joshua blessing Caleb. Here we see Joshua again as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses His people the better, the better, the better, the less is blessed of the better, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us all grace now, and He gives us glory forever. The last thing I want to consider is the name of this city, Hebron. Hebron. You know, it's still, if you look on a map of the current country of Israel, you still see the city Hebron. Now, back in old times, in the day of Abraham, it was called Kirjath Arba, which is Arba. Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land rested from war. Now, Hebron, the name of the city, means fellowship and communion, and certainly the city is a type and picture of Christ. It's one of those providential types. It later becomes a city of refuge where the manslayer could go and be protected. But this place has a rather famous history. Sarah, Abraham's wife, was buried there in Hebron. It says in Genesis 23:2, Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Both Abraham, Isaac, Jacob lived in this area of Hebron many years before Joshua and Caleb were there. We're going to find in chapter 15 that Caleb, you know, Joshua was not of the tribe of Judah. Joshua, I had to look this up. Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim. But we're going to see in chapter 15 that Caleb was given Hebron and that mountain, and Caleb gave some of that to Joshua to dwell in. He had and the point there I'm going to make next week, Lord willing, he had a generous spirit. He not only believed grace, but he was gracious. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in that area near to Machpelah, the cave where they were buried. Now, Caleb defeated the Anakims because of the promise of God. And later, you know what Caleb did? He not only gave Joshua a part of that land, but he gave the whole city of Hebron to the Levitical priest as a city of refuge to dwell in. It was later given by Caleb to the priest of God for a city of refuge, and even that too is a picture of the gospel. You see, everything is relative to the gospel, is it not? Christ is our refuge. Also in Hebron, Hebron is the first place where David reigned king over Israel many years later. Why in Hebron? Why not first at Jerusalem? Well, there's something special about this place called Hebron. So all the elders of Israel, 2 Samuel 5, so all the elders of Israel came to the king, to Hebron, and King David made league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. So Hebron was a very special, special spot of ground. God gave it really originally to Abraham. God gave Abraham that whole land. Now, may the mountain of our spiritual Hebron, it says there, and the land rested from war. May the mountain of our spiritual Hebron in Christ, communion and fellowship, be our rest and our portion here and hereafter in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the land rested from war. Christ is our Sabbath rest. We rest in Him. He said, come unto me, all ye labor heavy laden, I will give you rest.